find the readings interesting that they call them on this day when, in between the masses today, we had the parish discussion on the abuse crisis, the scandal in the church. Hopefully you've read that book that we provided by Bishop Barron, a letter to a suffering church. If you have not yet read that, there are a number of the books still in the back on the left as you leave today. Or if you'd like to give a book to another friend or such, feel free to take one or more with you. The first reading, I think, sums up the history of the abuse crisis, whereas the gospel gives us the future. So what do I mean by that? Well, this reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, what is going on here? Jeremiah was given a word from the Lord to speak, and it was a word that Israel should surrender, that they are going to fall to their enemy. And the leaders of Israel, listen to what they say, their reason for silencing him. Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin. So the reason that the leader silenced him is that he's speaking this word from the Lord and it's demoralizing the people. Now, when you read what a number of the bishops who covered up things said, the reason was they really, at the bottom of all this, didn't want to demoralize their people. That they thought if we found out that some of these priests had been abusive, that it would demoralize the church. And so the idea was, in their mind, that they were doing this to protect you and me, to protect the church. They didn't want us to be demoralized. And in fact, those bishops who did seem to make public this seemed not to be interested in the welfare of the people, but in their ruin. And so we can see that false thought, that when truth comes, we must bring it to the light. That when you try to bury the truth, it comes out in even worse ways in the future. Now this brings us to the gospel, where Jesus says that when he came for a reason. I've come to set this earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. And he goes on to tell us what this looks like. Division, not unity, he says. You think I've come to establish peace? No, I tell you, but rather division. Because truth divides. When truth is spoken, it divides. Truth calls things what they are. Evil or good, right or wrong. When a word of truth is spoken, it's going to divide people. And so the Lord says, this is what I have come for, to speak this word of truth, to set this fire ablazing. And I think when we hear that at first, if we weren't to read the part about the division, we might be misled in thinking, oh, the fire he's talking about is that gentle, like a campfire fire that warms the heart. He's speaking of the gentleness and the kindness of the Lord. No, he's not. It's a blazing fire, a consuming fire, a fire that burns up and destroys. He's speaking of the wrath of the Lord, of the punishing fire, of the purifying fire. In our time, we're not comfortable with that idea of God, to speak of his wrath or of his punishment. Because we've kind of, almost in an overreaction against a lot of preaching on that in earlier times, have completely forgotten about that aspect of the Lord. That there is vengeance and wrath in him. So what does that mean? I think the problem that we have made is that we think of love as one of the characteristics of God. That's not what it is. It is who God is. God is love. Every action, every decision he makes is an act of love. And when we're in the Spirit of the Lord, when we're where we're supposed to be, in a sense, we receive that as gentleness, as kindness from him. But in those parts of our life where we're clinging to sin, we experience it as wrath, as punishment. But it's all the same. What is love? Love is to will the good of the other. It's to work for the good of the other. And so in some ways we can say it's the dark side of God's love is his wrath. That is, he's so passionate about our good that he hates the evil that is within us. He hates it. He hates the evil. And he says, I've come to set a fire to destroy that. Because Jesus came to establish his Father's kingdom. And yet he sees there's so much that needs to be taken away first, that needs to be burned up before that kingdom can flourish. You know, I just came back from a wilderness outreach trip in the Cascades. And I was reminded how every forest that I've been to in the West, every beautiful forest, always has signs of a great fire that went through it. You'll always find charred logs and such around. Because a fire is sent, or a fire consumes all the debris and all the brush. And when that fire goes through, then new life comes up. Beautiful new life. The Lord, through this scandal, has sent a fire upon our church. And it's a good thing. It's a mark of his love. Because he sees in the church, and I don't speak of the church as simply the hierarchy, but you and me. He sees things that need burned out. It's his love for us. This purification, this time of suffering as a church, is meant to purify us, to burn that which is evil within us out of us, so that real life can flourish. That real life that he wants for each of us. And you know, when you burn trash, I don't know how many of you burn trash. I know at my parents' house we burn trash a lot. And you, when you're close to it, your eyes start to burn. Sometimes the smell is really bad. It can be painful burning out brush and burning out trash and debris. And frankly, it's painful right now in the church. I mean, I think we're all experiencing it. I know as a priest, the way people sometimes look at me with suspicion simply because I'm a Catholic priest. But all of us as Catholics know what I'm talking about. That it hurts somewhat. But let's take advantage of this fire. Let's ask the Lord to burn out what's in us. Keep getting closer to that fire. Throw it into the fire. What parts of my life aren't given completely over to God? What part of my intellect still holds on to my own truth and not to the truth that's been given to us through revelation, through tradition? What part of my will is still not given over to the will of God, the Father? What part of my passions still aren't directed towards the good and the true and the beautiful? What part of my public life is not in conformity with the will of God, with Scripture, with tradition? What part of my private life is not in accord with the will of God? What in me still needs to be burned out? We have a fire that's burning, and it's a fire the Lord has been yearning to start. And so let us add to that blaze, throw on more onto that fire. Because when we do that, and if we do that as a church, then John Paul II's prophecy makes sense. That he could see off in the near future, he said, a new springtime of the church coming. But as that old forest teaches us, the fire must first consume all that is not good before the new life can spring up. And so in this Mass, let us pray that the Lord continue to intensify the fire upon his church during this time, and that we might stay close to that fire and allow it to burn out of us all that is not of the Lord's will, all that does not serve his kingdom, all that is not for the glory of the Father.